Welcome to the 6 Res Ed podcast, produced by Media Snackers with Global Kids. In this podcast, we'll be interviewing Tracy Reby, Assistant Principal of the High School for Global Citizenship in New York. As ever, we'll have a roundup of events coming up in the next couple of weeks for the Res Ed community, but first we'll be joined by Amira and Barry from Global Kids to give us the news.
Thanks, DK. The New York Times put out an article this week, Sandra Day O'Connor Plans for Joystick Justice, where she talks about a game that she's helping to design as part of an elaborate civics education program that she's sponsoring. She spoke last Wednesday afternoon at the Games for Change conference in New York City, where she described the game she's helping to design as part of an elaborate civics education program she's sponsoring, and the game will be offered free next year on the internet. She said that junior high school students spend an average of 40 hours a week using television, computers, and other electronic media. If we can get a little bit of that time, getting them to think about government and civic engagement, rather than playing shoot 'em up video games, this is a real accomplishment. It's one of the main efforts of the Our Courts project that Justice O'Connor started in conjunction with Arizona State University and the Georgetown Law School. The game is being developed with James Paul Gee, a professor at Arizona State, who studied the educational effects of video games. This game has many components, one of its parts including a Google Earth beta virtual world.
Yeah, we're really excited to see what happens with that Google Earth beta. And in association with that, there's a fantastic article in MIT's Technology Review called Second Earth, and they're kind of hypothesizing what happens when the two trends that are going on, the one trend about participatory virtual worlds and at the same time participatory geographic spaces combined to create what they term the worldwide sim, an environment combining elements of Second Life and Google Earth. I'll quote a little from the article. There's another new genre of 3D visualization tools that are accessible to both professionals and average internet users. Virtual globe programs such as Google Earth, Microsoft's Virtual Earth, and NASA's open source WorldWind. People have created public maps full of details about everything from history of genocide to spots for romance. Even as social virtual worlds incorporate a growing amount of real-world data, like bringing in Google Earth into Second Life, virtual globes and their 2D counterparts, web maps, are getting more personal and immersive. As these two trends continue from opposite directions, it's natural to ask what will happen when Second Life and Google Earth, or services like them, actually meet. It is a very interesting question to ask. We recommend folks check it out and maybe start some conversations on Res Ed about it. And thanks to Veritas Veriscan for pointing that news in our direction. If you have any news you want us to know about, please do send it our way.
Also, there's a study that came out on June 4th of this year, 1 billion virtual world users in the next 10 years. The article put out by Strategy Analytics is a study showing how virtual worlds such as Habbo Hotel and Second Life are set to explode over the next decade, leading to an $8 billion service opportunity. Strategy Analytics released a forecast of virtual worlds. This study, titled Market Forecasts for Virtual World Experiences, predicts that 22% of global broadband users will register for one or more virtual worlds over the next 10 years. This will expand the virtual world market to 1 billion registrants with roughly an $8 billion service opportunity.
Wow, a billion residents in the next 10 years. That's going to give a lot of opportunities for utilizing these spaces for learning. One of the things we also want to talk about, even though the news is a little bit late, a press release was just put out from Global Kids that was released in conjunction with the folks behind There.com, Yville, and Second Life, talking about in March how these virtual worlds collaborated through Global Kids to spread Kofi Annan's message about international justice at MacArthur Foundation's first award for international justice. And on the Res Ed site, you can both read about the press release and see a brief video that shows how Kofi Annan was brought through a massive multi-world simulcast to all of these locations, plus Teen Second Life at the same time.
And lastly, another video that we have up on resed.org is put out by Global Kids this week and a new initiative with incarcerated youth that we've been working with in Teen Second Life. This project, which comes out of the DD initiative, Dream It, Do It initiative, is work that we've been doing for 18 months, where we support teens with up to $1,000 to launch their own social entrepreneurial projects in Teen Second Life. What's amazing about this specific project is our ability to use the unique affordances of a virtual world space to actually reach the most underserved communities, including incarcerated youth, to bring such programs to them so that they can be a part of something where they're benefiting their community and their own lives while still incarcerated.
We have a short video about it on the site that you can check out. And in fact, while we were doing this very interview, Blue Wings Hayek just created a group on ResEd called Working with Incarcerated Youth. So please come join it and check it out.
And now for the podcast interview with Tracy Reby, Assistant Principal of High School for Global Citizenship in Brooklyn, New York. I started by asking her about the Science Through Second Life program that has met every day this semester.
We started the Science and Second Life program this the spring semester, and it began with I was approached by Barry Joseph from Global Kids, who had received a grant through Motorola, and they had decided to sort of do this program that would look at bringing Second Life into a high school curriculum. So Barry came to me because I have I'm an assistant principal, so I only teach one period, so I've got a little bit of extra time that I can spend on the actual curriculum side of it, and sort of said, you know, I'm also a science teacher, and sort of said, you know, do you think we can do this? What would this look like? We're at the High School for Global Citizenship. How could we tie in the, you know, some of the sort of bigger themes of the school, some technology? And it just made perfect sense. I mean, as with technology being a big goal for the school, getting the kids exposed to technology from an earlier age, getting the kids sort of excited about technology and learning using different sort of technology skills, as well as incorporating the issues of science around sustainability and making that a little bit more real to the students, that it just made it made perfect sense for us as we were looking to do this when Barry came and sort of suggested this this program.
So what does the Science Through Second Life program actually look like then, if you were to describe it for outsiders?
It incorporates a lot. It incorporates, the students are sort of learning basic things, starting with, you know, they blog every morning before they start. They're reflecting a lot on what they're learning, even before they get into Second Life, and then they're sort of using Second Life to simulate some of the bigger issues that deal with sustainability that we're learning about. So, for example, there's a unit on the trash problem in Naples, and, you know, rather than sort of learning about it out of context, students are looking at it in Second Life, where, you know, the curriculum developers have created a virtual Naples, and the students are seeing the trash, and they're seeing the, you know, they're speaking to people in Naples that are sort of explaining the problem to them, and they're really getting a real sense, a real personal sense of what the issue is, as opposed to, you know, sort of learning it in a much more, I'd say, like two-dimensional way.
Wow.
So that's just one example. But they're learning, you know, other issues of sustainability. They're learning about fossil fuels by going through a virtual coal mine. They're learning about, you know, oil drilling by, you know, incorporating, actually, that was a good unit. They incorporated both Second Life, and they used Google Earth a little bit, and they looked at Alaska, and they were able to go and look in Second Life at the oil field and see some of the, you know, the environmental impacts of it. And then a lot of freedom for them to sort of explore their own interests and things that, you know, that they're interested in, and sort of apply them and teach each other about them in Second Life.
And give us an idea how long this program has been running for.
We started in February of this year, and we meet, you know, 5 days a week, and we are wrapping up. Actually, the last day would be Friday of this week.
Wow, every day that semester?
Every day this semester, yeah.
Wow.
Short of vacations and occasional days off here or there.
So what are the typical kind of responses from the young people when you first pitch this to them?
When they first heard about it before they started, they were sort of confused. They didn't really know, you know, there's a really big, you know, they don't think of learning as something fun, and they think of things like Second Life as, you know, it's fun, it's a game, it's separate from school. And I think that sort of hearing that they would have an opportunity to, you know, in their minds what they viewed as playing, that they would be able to play in class every day and sort of, creating something and developing things and learning things in that way, they just, you know, they didn't know what they would be. You know, they've never really known how that would play out.
And what about then? That's the students' responses. What about the teachers' responses to this when you pitched it to them?
I mean, I'm the only teacher that teaches it, so I didn't have that big of a problem. I mean, it took a lot of convincing. You know, I had to sort of convince the principal that this was this was something that we wanted to do. I mean, he was supportive of it because I was supportive of it, but wasn't necessarily a believer. You know,
okay.
It took him a little while to sort of catch on to the idea that, like, this is that, you know, that you are really learning and that you are accomplishing real learning standards and real learning goals, and you're doing it through this, you know, this vehicle.
So tell us about how you have really tracked and measured those learning goals and standards and measurables then in Second Life.
I would say that it's definitely one of the more difficult parts of it, because the course allows so much freedom for students to sort of explore on their own and learn things that, you know, you don't necessarily expect them to. So they sometimes go, you know, they go on their own, off on their own way. But, you know, the key units are basically built around, the key units are basically built around, you know, real sort of learning standards that we've created. Then with every unit, there's a sort of hands-on in Second Life project in which students are demonstrating their learning based on those key skills. There's a lot of stuff I'd say. So I'm able to measure, I'm able to get a really good sense of where students fall in terms of mastering some of the major key objectives for the course, but I'm not necessarily getting the other learning that goes on, which I think is true in any class. I think, you know, there's so many other things going on. There's so many other, you know, just sort of unmeasurable opportunities, experiences, and interactions that you don't get. But it's pretty clear to me, at least with the stuff that I am seeing and that I am measuring in a more concrete way, that students are, you know, are definitely getting this in a way that I don't think they would be in a regular class.
So what have been the biggest challenges for you to actually establish this course and also to maintain the course as well for this over the semester period?
There are a number of challenges, I think, at this point. I think I am not a Second Life expert, so there's sort of a technical problem or a technical challenge. I've had a huge amount of support. You know, I have a team teacher in the room in Second Life with me every day who provides just a lot of technical support to me and to the students as well. I know it would be a much, much tougher challenge to do this without that, and I don't know how sustainable that is just in terms of, expanding this into other schools. I mean, I'm learning, but I'm not, you know, I'm definitely not an expert. I don't know how to, you know, put out the simulations, create them, fix them, troubleshoot them, things like that. So I think that's definitely a challenge. Technology is a challenge. We have very little technology. We are using right now 20 Mac laptops that were provided for us by the Motorola grant. But without that, you know, I'm not entirely sure that there's a lot of schools that are like ours that have the resources to actually do something like this. I mean, that'll be, you know, it'll definitely be a challenge. I mean, the laptops that we do have just were not, you know, they didn't have the graphics card that we needed. We're doing it on a wireless internet network, and that, you know, often creates some problems with lag, which can be really frustrating for the students. So there's definitely technical challenges. It's also been, you know, it's a course in development, so it's a lot more time-consuming than I think any of us ever anticipated. I think we're all, you know, everyone that's involved in the project is very committed to making this, to making it really good, really successful, and ready for next year so that it's a little bit more usable. But we have, you know, we're putting in a lot of time. You can't always anticipate how students are going to deal with certain things, how they're going to react to certain things, what's going to interest them, and I think that's, you know, in developing any curriculum, I think that's a problem.
Definitely. So when you established the program and now, what have been the outcomes when you first established it And sorry, I'll start that question again. That was rubbish. What were the outcomes when you first started the program?
In terms of students?
Yes.
In terms of other students? The program was, I mean, it was just an instant sort of success for the kids. I always use sort of the example of a couple of sort of male students at the school who were not necessarily fully engaged in school, really, really struggled, in trouble a lot, suspended a lot, and they're just, you know, my class is at 8:30 in the morning. Attendance is often a problem for classes that start that early, and I have almost all my students in there every day. When given an opportunity to stay after school, I have almost my entire class after school every day, you know, or not every day, but every opportunity that they get to come in and continue working. I had, you know, one of the students I have in mind in particular is, you know, was suspended for 3 days and came to class in second class every day that he was suspended. You know, there's just such a high level of interest and high level of engagement that, you know, among students who you wouldn't necessarily expect it, but who just, they thrive. They're very comfortable with the technology. I mean, you know, even for me, like, so, you know, I'm fairly comfortable with technology, but so many of my students are more comfortable with second life than I am and just are able to do so much more than I'm able to do. And it's you know, I think that's very motivating for them. I think they feel, you know, they feel really empowered because it's their own. And I think that that is an incredibly powerful, incredibly motivating learning tool.
So if you could advise if a teacher or another school were thinking about using Second Life in this kind of curriculum way, if you could give some advice, what would that advice be?
If I were advising another teacher?
Yes.
The teacher needs to be really interested in the program and sort of very comfortable with allowing students freedom. I think that, you know, a lot of us teach in a way that is very structured and very rigid, and while there's elements of that in this, it is incredible to see what students will do when given the freedom to sort of go their own direction, go their own way, and teachers need to, you know, be comfortable with not knowing how to do everything, trust that their students are actually working and engaged, even if they're doing something a little different from what they're being asked to do originally, and just sort of let students show you what they know.
Okay, so let's wrap this interview up with a future question. How do you see going forward now using Second Life within the curriculum there? Would you like it be rolled out across the school and try some other subjects?
I think we're very interested in doing that. I wouldn't jump into it. I think it's going to take some time to sort of iron out some of the challenges just in terms of the technology. I've just learned an enormous amount about how powerful this is as an instructional tool, and I definitely would, you know, I could see it working really well in the math curriculum. I could see, you know, students who are not typically engaged in math getting very engaged in sort of learning math through Second Life. It opens up a lot of possibilities and a lot of opportunities to really, you know, teach students in different ways and teach them skills that they're going to need to learn to be competitive in the workforce at some stage in their lives, but I also would want to make sure that it's done really well. I mean, we're putting a lot of time into the science curriculum. I think we need to put more time into the science curriculum and, you know, eventually sort of expand that into other areas.
Okay, well, thank you for your time, Tracy, and for speaking to ResEd today. To round off this podcast, we go back to the Global Kids Guys and events, and this is Barry.
Thanks, DK. Just as proof that virtual worlds and education and learning are not something just happening in the U.S., we're happy to announce that on June 28th, the Congress on Education and Second Life will be held in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. There will be more than 8 hours of lectures culminating in a roundtable, pulling together the main subjects of the lectures on education and Second Life. You can learn more about the link to it in the show notes. Sorry, I can't tell you more because I don't speak Portuguese.
The Moving Education Forward, an unconference for anyone interested in Second Life as a tool for teaching and learning, will be held at Montclair State University in Montclair, New Jersey on June 23rd. That conference will be an all-day event from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., and details are listed on ResEd's events page.
And finally, during our last podcast, we said that the day after the that podcast would launch, the SLED CC, which is the education track at the Second Life Community Conference this September in Tampa, was going to close its deadline for proposals. I'm now happy to announce that actually it's been extended to the day after this podcast, June 17th. So if you listen to this in time, you can still get something in. What we're most excited to announce at the end of this podcast is that we'll be working very closely with the SLED CC and ResEd. SLED CC just closed down its Ning network and is moving everything over to work within ResEd, and we are thrilled about this partnership and looking forward to working closer with not just the folks behind SLED CC, who are doing amazing work, but all of the people who will be speaking on the panels, and more importantly, all the participants who are coming to learn, so that ResEd can be the place for folks going to SLED CC, both before, during, and after the event, to kind of extend further both what people are doing in Second Life and how it connects with other virtual worlds and learning. And of course, if you know about any events coming up in any virtual world, Second Life, Google Betas, or otherwise, please do let us know on ResEd.org so we can, actually, I don't know what the URL is. Amira, what's the URL?
They can submit anything to resedinfo@globalkids.org.
You heard it right there, resedinfo.org. That's not it. I blew it again. What is it?
Events can be submitted to resedinfo@globalkids.org.
What she said.
All the links referenced in this podcast, as well as the full transcripts, will be available on the show notes at resed.org.